heart beats faster and faster.
Coming at you live from somewhere deep under the cemetery. Ladies and gentlemen, you guessed it. This is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Ooh, paranormal broadcasting where nobody loves us. Everybody hates us. Guess we'll just go eat some worms.
Hey, gang, we're back live in studios. Both of us together again. The G&D chat room will be there all night long.
And you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And Demon Hunter, this is the Sunday, February 24th broadcast of the G&D Show.
That's right, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris, and is broadcast live on Omnisound and Karmacast Radio, and is recorded for Blog Talk, I Am Haunted, and Paranormal Planet Radio.
Boy, we got them everywhere now, man. Okay, guys, first up tonight, we got Steve Cook, a 27-year veteran of the radio biz and a creator of the Legend theme song, which, of course, is about the American Werewolf. We'll be talking about a little bit later tonight. A little later on, we'll be talking to Julie Vasquez. Julie is the CEO of Paranormal Underworld, and she's going to be talking Ghost Box and playing some EVPs for us, so it's sure to be a hot one. Stick around for that.
Ooh, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Ooh. Even the little demon guy is happy to have you back, Sean.
He is happy, guys. I'm happy to be back. It's that time again. I'm back in the warmth and comfort of the G&D Show studios. Thanks, everybody, again, for joining us tonight on another great episode.
Oh, yes. Sean, just without you, it was great to have Doug and Bonnie here, but without you here... I realized how good this show really could be.
You know what I noticed, Demon Hunter? The studio smells like sex a little bit when I got back in here today. It's kind of stinky.
Well, considering that's your studio, I really don't know what was going on while you were gone, Sean.
The airwaves smell funny. You had Bon Bon and Dougie on with you. You know, I don't know what kind of fruity thing you guys were doing, but I am back, and it's good to be back, guys. Sorry for my absence, but, of course, the Ghost Man is not invincible. I fell ill. Of course, apparently I went to a concert and got trampled. Was that it, Demon Hunter?
That was the story put out there by the media, Sean. That was the story.
Right. The paparazzi. Yeah, I came down with something called, it was a little thing called pancreatitis, and apparently it runs in the family, and they took me in the hospital, and they ran some tests, and I spent last week in there, and they got me back on my feet, so I'm a little slow tonight, guys, so take it easy on me, but I am back here, and getting back into the groove of things, but I got to tell you, Demon Hunter, why I was staying at the hospital. And I know you've been in the hospital before, right?
Sadly, the Ghost Man is not the only one who has to go to the hospital. The Demon Hunter winds up doing it on a regular basis, either from illness or because I am the clumsiest person on the face of the earth.
I think you'd be challenging Bonnie on that one.
You're right. She is the clumsiest.
But, you know, I went to the hospital, and I stayed at this one here in Johnson County out here in Indiana, and... it was beautiful. I mean, there was cow fields to the left, to the right, up and down, north, south, east,
west. Oh, your room must have smelled great.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. It was out in the great Indiana skyline. All you could see was the cow patties and the big, what do you call those things that they keep the corn in and stuff? Silos.
Yeah, they had silos all around. You couldn't get a cell phone signal, so you guys were all calling me. I couldn't get anything. And on the opposite side of the wall, they were putting in a new room. Now, the whole hallway was nice and quiet and everything, but of course, the room they put me in, right next to it, they decided to start adding on to the hospital. So, I mean, oh, man, I'm sitting there, and they had me doped up on morphine and stuff, man, and all you heard was, you know, and hammering and everything, and that, those guys must have been going on for, they must have been going on all night long. So, but thank God for morphine, that's all I'm saying. Because the more I hit that button, the more the drills and the saws and all that went away, man, so... Matter of fact, I could use a shot of morphine tonight for the show, I tell you.
Oh, well, you know, the Oscars are going on tonight, Sean, which are like the second largest watched program on television each year.
Yes, I've heard.
And last time when we were broadcasting during the largest watched program, which was the Super Bowl, we lost our system. So yes, I can hear a little bit of delay in our sound and stuff, but I hope we're coming out clear for everybody out there.
And, well, everybody in the chat room, Nate, is saying sounds great tonight, so...
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm very glad to hear it.
You know, I got another interesting little tidbit. You know how I've been talking about the ghost box and everything, right?
That's right.
Now, I don't necessarily agree with it or disagree. I haven't had time to study it and actually break it down and see, you know, what it does. I think there's something to it. But, of course, for you guys that don't know, they call it the Radio Shack hack because it's a Radio Shack digital AM-FM radio, Demon Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And you break this puppy apart, and what you do is it's simple. I bought this little radio. I'm sitting here holding it right now. You take it apart. It's three screws, and inside you got two little circuit boards. You pull the circuit board up, and you have this little line of little, I don't know, little like spike electrode things sticking out, and they're labeled. One says sound, one says another thing, and one says
so they're
loop.
Like transformers.
So, yeah, something like that. And what you do is you take little needle nose and you clip the one that says mute.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows the radio, when you hit the button, to cycle. Just go through the stations without, you know, setting on one, tuning in on one.
Okay.
So that leads to like an infinity loop, like a, you know, it just keeps going through the radio stations. So basically what you're creating is white noise. I did get something, I did break it down, I did fix it, I got in there, I felt pretty proud of myself, I got the tools out, and actually that was the only thing productive I did this week. But I got this thing out, and I was playing with it, and I would turn it down, and I would ask a question. And then I would turn it back up and record what it was saying. And, of course, I heard the WKRP, you know, all this other stuff. And they always said when you got an answer or a response, it would be over that background noise.
Okay.
So I'm playing with it, and I said, what is your name? And I got nothing. And I asked again about 5 minutes later, what is your name? And very clear, very distinct, over top of the background, the radio chaos, you hear Gene. Just like I'm saying that to you right there. Very clearly a man's voice says Gene. And it kind of shocked me a little bit because you have to hear it. I'm going to download it. I'm going to put it out here on the show, guys, so you can listen to it. But you can tell that it's not part of the background noise. You know what I mean, Demon Hunter?
Well, you know what, Sean? You know what you can do to prove to me that that box works?
What's that?
I want you to go take a trip to the deepest, darkest end of South America where there's not mm-hmm. a single English-speaking radio station down there.
Right.
Start asking it questions, and if you ask it, what is your name, and you get Julio back or something like that, I ain't going to believe you, okay? You need to get me some English-speaking ghosts in a non-English-speaking radio area. And then maybe I'll believe you.
And see, that's what I'm saying too. Now, I'm saying I don't believe in it, nor do I disbelieve in it. I haven't had time to study it yet. I'm just saying I have got some kind of results with it. You can't be fooled by some of these things, guys, but it is kind of, it's along the lines of White Noise, the movie, the original one, you know, and I think some guys got that idea. And of course, Chris Moon and some of those guys, they started the dead telephone or
telephone to the dead. Yep.
Yeah, Telephone to the Dead, and these
Frank's
are some
box.
Cheap ways to do it. Yeah, it's something to play with. And, you know, I remember when I was on an investigation once, I had a CD of nothing but white noise, just pure static. And, you know, I was always against that because I thought adding more to...
Funny, people who listen to our show seem to prefer static. So
I know. It's half our show, but I don't know. Anyway, I got that, and I put it together, and I think there's something to that. But, of course, that's where we're going to have Julie on tonight, guys, and she's done Julie Vasquez. She's done a lot of work with the Ghost Box and specifically the Radio Shack hack, the one I've been dealing with. And, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in it yet, but I think it's interesting. I think it's something to study up on. I think they could improve on it. I do.
Well, dude, I wanted to bring up really fast something that's been getting on my nerves over the last few months, because I've been getting a lot of calls from people from all over the country calling me asking to look for help because they've had paranormal groups come into their homes looking for evidence, finding evidence and saying, okay, you have a ghost here. Walking out, and these people never hear from them again.
Ugh.
And they're calling me up saying, well, we have something here. Somebody came in and verified it, but now we have no idea what to do. And I really think, you know, everybody's always talking to me about who is a paranormal professional. Who is, you know, obviously we all say there are no experts, but you have specialists. You have people who do this as a hobby, people who do it professionally, people who are out there looking for evidence that past lives or lives exist after death, people who are out there just trying to have a good weekend. Doug and Scott were talking about this on the show just before ours on Ghostly Talk, and they were saying how you have all these different groups out there, but people are not helping people once it's done. And I really think it should become, instead of trying to determine who is the paranormal professionals out there, and instead of people trying to become paranormal watchdogs and police and stuff like that, what we really do is ought to do is just really inspire people to understand that if you do not have the ability to help these people once you have gone into their home and done an investigation, or at least don't have the contacts of somebody you can connect them to get help, then you should not be going into people's homes.
That's true.
And I mean, it's just so got me to the point where, I mean, I'm getting phone calls. I wouldn't mind if I was getting phone calls from the groups saying we went into this home and we need some help finding somebody. But even then, you don't know me. You know me on the show, maybe. But this show is for entertainment purposes. Sean and I decided to have a good time, and we're bringing you along with us.
That's right.
But, but I mean, if you're not going into somebody's house with the full expectation that you're going to either be able to, A, understand their needs and help them to fulfill those needs, then don't go into their home. Don't go into their home. Stick to haunted hotels where you can rent a room for a night, go to graveyards, go to theaters, go to places where people are opening their homes to you to look for evidence, go to these famous places, but don't go into people's homes. Somebody just said, you mean going into their house? Oh, Prism Lisa just said going into their houses to make money so they could get some video. Yeah, but it's gotten to the point where, I mean, I do all I can. On the other hand, too, not too long ago, got a call from somebody who wanted help way out in a far out state. I didn't know anybody in that state. I contacted my friends, went through, you know, there was nobody available there. I finally found someone in a neighboring state to agree to go in and check it out. She contacted the person in the home, and the person didn't want to do it right away. They wanted to postpone.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we're not making any money at this. We're scheduling our lives around these people. And on the other hand, they have to allow for us too. But more so than not, you are going to somebody's at home to help them. You have to be ready to help.
You have to be ready to help. And you have to be ready to, I think these groups, the leaders of these groups are just as guilty as they are guilty, because they're the ones putting on these training classes, training these people to investigate and stuff, but they leave out what to do. They tell you how to look for this stuff, Demon Hunter, but they don't necessarily tell you what to do once you find it.
Really?
You know, they take how to document it and put all this stuff into a report form, but, you know.
And I'm a big fan of paranormal shows. I really am. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of anything paranormal. I mean, I flick around the TV during the day because I work in the evenings nowadays online and stuff. But I watch the shows during the day, and they don't show you the follow-up afterwards. And so all these people getting interested in paranormal and getting out there and investigating, they've watched a few TV shows, read a couple of books, bought a DVR and a digital camera, and they're going to go out and do exactly what they've seen on TV because that's the way it's done. And they're not seeing the follow-up and everything that goes into it. So,
well, if you go out with your camcorder, right, and you get the ghost, you're going to be on Oprah. So, everybody wants their sci-fi show.
Hey, I actually got offered to do another episode of Maury this week. And I would have actually gotten more than 15 seconds on it this time. And
all right.
I had to turn it down. Because
you're so busy.
Well, you and I are going to be away at the dead of winter.
That's true. We are.
So, and that's when they wanted to film. And you know what? I've made commitments. And TV be damned.
And I know,
having said that, if there's anybody who wants to do a TV show of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, no.
That's right. Just call.
And you know,
no, but
go ahead.
You're right, Demon Hunter. You were hitting on something that might be a sore subject, and I'm sorry if we offend anybody out there. But that's the truth about this, guys. We have a lot of fun on this show, but when you go out here and you're at these people's house, don't be a screw job. My God, it's already bad enough. People look at us that we hunt ghosts. It's hard enough to get some professionalism in this field. But, when you go out to these places, just make sure to don't leave any stones unturned. Try your best. And if you don't know what to do, call somebody. I know one time I called John Zaffis, just out of the blue. I found his number online, and I called him, and I said, "Hey, John, I got this problem." He was more than happy to tell me what to do. He told me to go to the church and ask the person. And of course, now that's another thing. I had a possible demonic haunt at this one house, Demon Hunter, and John told me to go to the Catholic church down the road from me, and I did, and I spoke to them, and they would not help me.
Because you weren't Catholic.
That's right. Well, not only that, they just didn't want to get involved in anything like that. The church didn't condone it or whatever. There should be a whole chapter of these ghost hunting organizations dedicated to teaching their investigators what to do, where to go for help.
Well, I got to say, too, Sean, having this being my end of it, I work with malevolent haunts more than anything. I usually – people don't call me up and say, "Would you come out and ghost hunt with us?" Although I did get one call like that this week, but I had to turn it down because I had been working all weekend and I had to get some sleep. But, the last one I went on to – people call me up because there's a malevolent haunt involved, and I can't teach you how to go out and find people to help you with these problems. If you want to talk to church officials, you have to start getting to know people in the church. How many Sundays, do you think I go to a different church, sit in just so at a church service, just so when I get done, I can walk up and shake the hand of the minister or the priest and introduce myself, because that's the first step to getting to get them to help you, is to getting to know them.
None.
You suck. But, you know my schedule. But, no, I actually, I try once a month to get out to a different church.
That's very cool. That's very cool. I'm just saying, the regular ghost hunter investigator out there does not know that, though.
Yeah. And it's the first step. You have to get to know these churches. Because if you walk in off the street and say, "Hi, I'm a ghost hunter and I've got a case," well, unfortunately now, especially with the reputation of ghost hunters going out, getting out of hand, they don't want to hear from you. And they need to know you first. And, I've been very lucky in making friends with different churches, and Catholic churches are the hardest for me, Roman Catholic, because they don't want to work with you if you're not Catholic a lot of the time. But the Orthodox Catholic Church has been wonderful to me. Several Protestant churches have been wonderful to me. So, I mean,
isn't that usually what you see on a lot of exorcisms, the Orthodox Church?
No, actually, if you watch the movies, you see the Roman Catholic Church.
But in real life, I mean.
But in real life, you get a lot. I mean, the Orthodox Catholic Church has 9 prayers of exorcism before they do a baptism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dealing with demonic spirits is a very big deal with the Orthodox Catholic Church. So, but
right.
You know, and just to, you know, this goes in too with that other topic I was talking to you about, Sean. We have a new group of friends on the show, listening to the show, and you know, one of their rules is that they do not accept new members who don't follow their train of thinking.
Okay.
Which I can understand with all the fights that are going down now in the paranormal community, people stepping on each other's toes and arguing because, like I've said before, this whole thing with theories, people are confusing theories with beliefs. A theory is nothing more than an unproven idea. Until you've even attempted to prove it, you don't even have a hypothesis.
That's true.
So basically what it's coming down to is people are starting to follow these theories to such an extent that they have become a belief. And we all know what happens when you challenge someone's belief.
That's right.
They want to fight over it. You know, wars have been fought for millennia over beliefs. And I just...
Which in the ghost hunting community, it's really just you got to be an idiot. To fight over who thinks they're right when it comes to ghost hunting. Folks, it's ghost, okay? We're trying to prove the existence of ghost or something that, I mean, a lot of us know they exist, but we're still trying to find scientific evidence to prove the existence. Let's not fight each other over it, because that's just asinine.
My number one saying, Sean? Think outside the pine box.
That's right.
The pine box. And, I mean, I understand the reasons for doing this, but on the other hand, if you don't have people in here who are willing to stand up to you and say, I disagree with that method, I disagree with this thing, they have to be willing to, if you're the leader of the group, they have to be willing to follow your direction.
Leader of the pack.
That's right. But you also want people in there who are going to bring in new ideas, new theories, new techniques, and that's really important. And it's because of that I just wanted to bring that up, because we're having these groups that don't know how to go in and help people, and they very may well be excluding somebody who could help these people by refusing to have members who disagree with them. On the other hand, you want to stop fighting in your group? Start listening to everybody.
I think there's another group like that I remember from history. I think it was the Nazi Party. Do you remember?
Sean.
The Nazis. You couldn't fight them, remember? They, what they believe was in.
Do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
We are not saying that any of our listeners, groups, or fellow investigators are Nazis.
No, not Nazis. But guys, don't be Nazi. Don't be Nazi ghost hunters. I mean, be open to everybody, man. That's the one thing that I hate the worst. I do. I hate the...
It's kind of like when you talk about the ghost box. You're interested in it? I don't really have too much faith in it, but I'd be more than willing to sit in on a session for it.
Sure.
You know, it's you and I are going to be doing lectures. We're going to be going out to speak in at the Waverly Opera House with Tim Yancey and Gowan, Jason Gowan.
Say No to Orbs, right?
Say No to Orbs tour. We're going to be doing that in... what is it? The March 14th, 15th, and 16th. And the only reason, I'm going to be up there is because I study theory. Paranormal theory. That's, you know, theology is the study of all these, of the biblical theories and all these theories. It's the theory of man.
I have no idea why I'm going to be up there, Team and Hunter.
because we're a team and they wouldn't take me without you, but
I know. Like your retarded cousin, you gotta take him with you. Let's break into Yahoo news story, huh? How about the Associated Press sent us this one today? Man cuts off hand, okay, and then he microwaves it. You ready for this one? A man who believed he bore the mark of the beast, the 666 number, used a circular saw to cut off one hand, then he cooked it in the microwave and called 911. Authorities said the man in his mid-20s was calm when county sheriff's deputies arrived Saturday in his northern Idaho town. He was in protective custody in the mental health unit
at Cuscoga Medical Center. It had been somewhat cooked by the time the deputy arrived, his hand, that is. That's what the sheriff's captain, Ben Wolfinger, said. He put a tourniquet on the man's arm before so he didn't bleed to death. That kind of mental illness is just sad, said the sheriff's deputy. It was not immediately clear whether the man has a history of mental illness. hospital, I'd say it's pretty clear that he might have a problem there, you know. Hospital spokeswoman Lisa Johnson would not say whether an attempt was made to reattach the hand, citing patient confidentiality. So there you go, folks, right out of God's country, right out of Idaho. The cat thought he had the mark of the beast.
But did they say whether there were any marks on his hands?
No, it said that the guy didn't, it really didn't say anything about that, but I don't think he had, I mean, wouldn't you see a tattoo? Wouldn't they say something about that in the story?
But of course,
that comes out of the book of Revelation, right? The New Testament says, well, I forget exactly what it says. It says, if your right hand causes you to sin.
Well, no, that's not Revelation, Sean. The one you're thinking about is, if any man has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666.
Thank you, Pastor. But that actually came from the book of Matthew, the one I was looking at. It says, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. That's what the cat was thinking about. So he threw it off, but I don't think... I don't think old Matthew wrote about microwaving it. That was an added bonus. But can you imagine the smell from burning? Oh, God.
I don't know that. I know there'd be hair involved, but I don't imagine the smell would actually be much worse than if you microwaved a T-bone.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But
anybody in the chat know what burning flesh smells like? Go ahead. Well, Demon Hunter, you do. You used to work at the mortuary.
I worked at the crematory. It don't smell pretty, but you know what smells worse is the rotting flesh. So the burning flesh ain't that bad.
Right.
But
you smell pretty stinky.
Yeah, I really had to. I had an evening job back when I did that too, so I had to go home and shower pretty thoroughly before I went to that.
God, I can't imagine that, dude. I guess they get paid pretty good, though, the cats that work the crematorium stuff,
not,
right?
Not
I
mean, particularly great, no, but it's not bad. It's probably, you're probably looking at about 15% better than you would at, like, another manual labor job, but the work doesn't pay that much better. You just have to have a strong stomach for it. But let me hit the weird location of the week.
Hit it hard.
And that would be Holy Land, USA in Bedford City, Virginia. In Bedford City, Virginia, the life, journeys, and deeds of Jesus Christ are depicted on a 3-mile trail through 250 acres of a nature sanctuary that has been transformed into a replica of the Bible lands of Israel. Represented is everything from the Sea of Galilee to the tomb of Jesus. The site operates solely on a donation basis, but you will have to pay a small amount for the guided tour, wagon tour, if you want to do that. If you do, it includes a chance to sit in Noah's Ark and wander through Bethlehem, or visit the gift shop for the Savior's books, religious trinkets, or even replicas of the nails used in Jesus' crucifix. Well, if you want to take the wild tour through Holy Land, USA, you can drive down to Bedford City, Virginia. Or you can go over to our friends Mark and Mark at Weird US, www.weirdus.com, and check out this and many other weird locations.
Mark and Mark, oh my God.
You know, it was my birthday this week, Sean, and Chrissy got me the reprint of the first 3 editions of the Weird New Jersey newsletter.
Wow.
The Weird New Jersey cap and the Weird New Jersey game.
Boy, she fixed you up. Somebody must love you.
She must love me. But, yeah.
I figured our fans would send us stuff, you know? We got all these fans out here. I figured they'd start sending us stuff in, but no.
I got a lot of happy birthday greetings on MySpace.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. I called mine in.
Yes, you did. You did.
Because I think MySpace is an evil, wicked thing. You know my standing on that. I think it's evil.
Yes.
It's wicked.
Satan space. To coin a phrase, it's
MySpace.
To buy a phrase from the Ghostly Talk, it's a Satan space. But
you know, I was gonna tell you about Noah's Ark. I wonder if they got a water slide. Noah's Ark water slide like there. And I can't believe that, man. That's crazy. You want to talk about making money off JC? You know, the big man, Jesus Christ. That's, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know if I could do that or not.
Well, man, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have our very own Gore Girl with Inside the Horror.
Stick around, guys. TG's up next.
That's right.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for parashare, and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet The Deadline.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, get ready for a toll-free number that will change your life. Trinity Debt Management has been helping people just like you cut their interest rates by as much as 60% and increase their credit scores by up to 200 points. Trinity's counselors will explain the entire program with no pressure. Call Trinity today at 800-595-0052. 800-595-0052. Get a fresh start. For free information, call 800-595-0052.
This is Dr. Satan, and you're listening to the Ghostmen and Demon Hunters show.
Bring it up. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ghostmen and Demon Hunters show.
Is that where we are right now?
I think so, man. Is this, let's try to talk like idiots tonight. Idiots, the word of the week. That's my big word this
you
week.
You should have it's no idiot. Problem with that whatsoever.
And the main idiot that's in the house tonight, our very own Gigi. What's happening, baby girl?
Wait, wait, wait. We have to ask her the important question of the evening.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, Twin Cities. No, boys, five,
nine. Y'all want to make a movie? I want
to
make a movie.
See, Sean, she didn't jump in there before the music.
I told you, I'm antsy, man. I'm off my game today, guys. It's going to take me a couple weeks to get back.
Yay! I'm happy that you're back, Sean. I was worried about you, my man.
Back to what? I don't know, yeah. But he's here. So
yeah. I was comatose up until about 15 minutes before the show. But I am here. I'm live.
What the audience doesn't know is the reason Sean was in the hospital was one too many keg stands. So
yeah, I think the keg standing days are just about done for the old ghost man.
get a couple more in for the anniversary. It's all good.
Oh, you know what? I never got to say happy anniversary to you guys.
That's
happy anniversary.
Absolutely. Happy anniversary. I missed it. I was in the hospital, but
that was kind of with lack of feeling, guys.
Yeah,
I know.
We were happy all like, yeah, happy anniversary.
Well, we need to have a party. That's all there is. Too bad.
That is, and we need to invite everybody under the sun.
Oh, that's yeah, right. Yeah, everybody under the sun. Yeah, because that would really be able
everyone.
To be pulled off there. Yeah.
Well, I was going to tell you, last night I had the boys, Gigi. It was Daddy's big weekend, and we got down. We was watching ABC Family Channel, and there's a little pimp for ABC Family. And, yeah, if you guys are looking for Ghost Hunters for upcoming show, the G&D show is open here. But, no, we was watching Godzilla.
Ooh, which version?
With, Matthew
Broderick? The 98 yeah. version? Yeah.
Yeah. And that was really good, man. I never really sat through it, you know, but I sat last night and I was watching it, and I liked it, man. I was digging on it.
Do you remember when Taco Bell, like, went Godzilla crazy and they had all those, like, tie-in toys with it?
Oh, I do. I was living in New York at the time, and I remember them shutting off, like, entire blocks of New York to film, and boy, was that aggravating.
Wow. Did you see Godzilla, Demon Hunter?
Everywhere you looked, you saw Godzilla. He was on every billboard. He was, you'd be driving by.
He was the spokesmodel for New York at the
time. He really was. It would be a poster board with a giant Godzilla eye. 20 stories up, and it would say...
Oh, God, I remember those.
It would say, he's this tall, you know? And,
I just can't... I don't know who had the ball or the say-so to change the look of Godzilla.
Godzilla?
Gojira. They've totally changed the way he looked.
But, well, speaking of look, did you guys see Cloverfield yet?
No, I haven't gotten to see it.
Do you guys listen to my reviews at all, or no?
Yes, I actually did, but I go to see the movie.
I'm just wondering.
I get to go out and see the movies about once a year, and I go for my birthday. Muldoon is in the chat room. He'll tell you it always drove him crazy. He'd be like, what are you going to do for your birthday? I'm going to a movie. So that's what I would normally do, and I did go to a movie this year for my birthday, but I went to see The Orphanage.
Okay.
Which was an excellent
of all the movies that you could have seen, okay.
It was an excellent ghost film. So I'm not doing a review, but it was actually, you know, except for the fact that there were subtitles and I don't go to the movies to read.
Come on.
No, but at least they kept the subtitles short, so you didn't like have you, they wouldn't say blah, 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 and
I
have,
feel
like,
bad for
sentences.
Subtitle movies because some of the best movies are subtitled, like Brotherhood of the Wolf. That was an amazing freaking picture, and I mean it was subtitled.
I did enjoy Brotherhood of the Wolf. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was good times. Oh, guys, I got some news from the horror community.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Sean would like Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah, I actually think he owns a pair of those.
I do.
There's a pair. Well, what the audience doesn't know is we have something like that, but we pass around the same pair of underwear.
That's true.
I wore them first, and I will never wear them again.
That's a thing. Mm. I don't know. At conventions, maybe we'll whip it out. I don't know. Anyway. Now we're going to have extra people at our table. We thought you guys were going to whip it out.
Let me smell your undies. Yeah.
I'd like to see the
official Ghostman and Demon Hunter towel.
Oh, no. Yeah. Don't bring up the towel, okay?
I'm hot for it.
I don't know how many people have asked me if I seriously do the show in the towel.
But you do.
I do the show in the towel. But, you know, I don't know if I'm going to wear that to conventions.
Yeah, that's true. I can see that. It's cold.
It's cold. That's okay. We come prepared.
Maybe if they have a convention in Florida. We'll do that.
Yeah, there you go.
I hope it don't freaking snow on us next weekend, man.
It better not.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I will see you guys next weekend.
Yes.
But we have done nothing but disturb Gigi's attempts to bring in what she was trying to tell us, so...
Yeah, and I'm really just about to go, like, ape on you guys, and, like, you know, it's just gonna happen. I'm sorry. Okay.
Do it, baby.
You know how we had the tragedy of Vampire dying, right? Oh, the horror community is just not ready. We're not ready for more death. I mean, we like death, but not our favorite people. Like... Roy Scheider died.
Yes.
That was horrible. We held a Roy Scheider. Jaws is one of the best films ever.
We held a Roy Scheider night before that. Yeah. And instead of watching Jaws, we watched Sorcerer with Roy Scheider.
Oh, God. That's classic.
It is.
Oh. But my personal blow was that Ben Chapman died.
Oh.
And he played the original Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yes.
And that is my absolute favorite Universal film. It was my favorite Universal monster. I don't know what it is. You know, A Creature from the Black Lagoon, A Creature Walks Among Us. I mean, those are my favorite movies. The Creature was just my favorite Universal character, and Ben died. I am
How
so
old
upset.
Was that
at? He was pretty old. I mean, I'm not sure if he was older than you, but
he wasn't quite as old as Sean. He was not quite, but he was a little younger than me.
He was younger than Nathan, but I don't know, Sean. I don't know. See, what the audience doesn't realize is Sean looks pretty good. He's actually 105 years old.
Yeah.
And he looks buff.
And we've contracted him for 15 more years. So.
He's on for 15 more years. And, I mean, he looks buff,
panty
guys.
Whisper, too,
absolutely
apparently.
Buff.
That's right. Frankie says, let's not go panty whiffing. I say, yo, let's go panty whiffing.
Oh, then I got some other little tidbits for you. Days. Because I think it was Nathan. Aren't you a Lost Boys fan?
I am a Lost Boys fan. Eddie Muldoon
guess
and
what?
I grew up with the Lost Boys, and we will never let them die.
Well, guess
that
what?
Like Peter Pan,
Corey Haim and Corey Feldman are both back on board for Lost Boys 2, The Tribe. They're not the main characters, but they do make a significant appearance, and Corey Feldman comes back as one of the Frog Brothers. Actually, both the Frog Brothers are coming back.
Oh, my.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But, yeah, Corey Haim wasn't sure he was going to do it, and then I just got word that he signed on, so he's ready to roll and all that good stuff. Oh, and then...
Did you see that series, Gigi, they did? I forget what... Living...
Living with Corey?
Surreal life?
No, Living with Corey, I think it was called, or something like that, and the two Coreys had to live together.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. I killed myself.
Hey, just think of it this way, okay? They're going to make a Goonies 2. It's in the works. The script, there's been a million scripts for it. They're going to make it. You're going to have to see Corey Feldman. I think we're all going to have to see Corey Feldman rehash all of his 80s roles again. So
I wonder if they're going to get Joey Pants to come back and do that.
Oh,
I'll
if they get Joey Pants,
I'll have to
so
ask
happy.
Him if he's going to do it.
Oh, I'll be so happy if they do. it's so sad that they can't get Anne Ramsey, though, because, you know, she's passed on. And
yeah.
She was an incredible woman. I love that lady. And she was actually scary. I watched all these horror movies when I was a kid. And nothing really frightened me, but she scared me. And Throw Mama from the Train, that was frightening. I'm sorry. But they used to give me, like, the shakes when I was younger.
Right?
What?
Wasn't she the beef lady, too? Where's the beef?
No, no, that was not her, Sean.
Oh, okay.
Just let them think it, Nathan.
Just for that one, we have to,
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent the...
Where's the beef?
Where's the beef?
Where's my beef?
Speaking of where's the beef, where's Bonnie at? I was looking forward to talking to her this week.
Oh, well, you got me back, babe. You can't have them both. Have them both.
I can't have them both. I can't have my beef and eat it, too, so...
You can't have your beef and eat it, too. But what was I going to say there? So we
Nobody
were talking,
knows,
I
Sean.
Had something. Oh, I had a great thing to bring up, but I totally lost concentration.
That's okay. I just want to shout out once again. I'm sorry I missed you, Bonnie, last week. I enjoyed talking to you. I miss you.
You should.
Your prime rib, baby. Your prime rib.
Your prime.
Do we have a movie this week, Gigi?
We do, but I wasn't sure what was going on here.
Let's go ahead and see. We've still got 10 minutes of Gigi. Let's hear what she's got to say about a movie.
10 minutes and go. Well, guys, I saw The Signal. I don't know if you guys seen in the previews for this or whatnot.
No.
It's actually kind of an under-the-wire sort of movie. It was under the radar. Not a lot of PR for it. Sort of just slipped in. It's actually playing at select theaters, not playing at every movie theater. It's sort of like I did hear things about it before it came out, but it wasn't that intense. There wasn't anything. There's no superbly notable characters in it, or I mean, there wasn't anything that would draw attention from the mainstream, you know, media to promote it. But all I could say is this movie freaking rocked. Like, I don't even need to go into a big tirade. This movie rocked, okay? Because basically what happens is a rogue transmission filters through everything, radio, TV, and everybody that sees it, it's sort of messaged with your brain waves. They have all these, you know, crazy scientific theories throughout the movie as to what's happening. But basically everybody in the world goes insane. And they get what some people call the crazy, and they go around just murder each other. So the whole movie is just a bloody mess. And, of course, I loved it. Well, I mean, it basically there's – it was so interesting how it was pulled together. It sort of had like a I'm not saying by any means, people, that it's like Pulp Fiction. But the story was sort of the same where you introduce different characters and they all tie in with each other at one point or another. So that was fantastic. It was actually, it was so 70s kitsch. It was awesome. Like, they displayed the movie in three transmissions, and it had, like, this whole, like, grindhouse feel to it at one point. And then, like I said, it definitely had a Tarantino Rodriguez feel to it. It had a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Like, it reminded me of about, like, 10, 15 movies I'd seen throughout, you know, the last 15 years. So, I mean, it was awesome. It was definitely awesome. Awesome. This movie is not like the definitive post-apocalyptic movie. So, I mean, this isn't like, oh my God, this is a movie that's going to be classic. It's going to go down in history. No. This is just a fun film. Like, I'm so tired of the crap that's out in the theaters these days, and it was nice to see something that actually reminded me of Rodriguez-type humor. You know, the tongue-in-cheek, the having fun with horror. I mean, I miss that. I miss having fun with horror movies. And these guys did it. They're like, hey, we're going to have a bunch of blood and a bunch of craziness. But guess what? We're going to make fun of it because it's funny. And they did. And I love it. But, I mean, it was actually directed by three directors, Bruckner, Gentry, and Bush, which actually is funny because do you guys remember another movie? Do you guys remember another movie that was directed by three directors? A classic comedy?
I remember a lot of movies directed by three directors, but...
Like the number one movie that was directed by three directors... It was an airplane.
Oh, yeah, airplane. Yeah,
sure. Do you even remember? Like, what?
I gotta mute myself.
Airplane. I love that. Airplane. I picked a heck of a day to stop sniffing glue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm back. Hook.
Hey, man, Hook is a classic. I don't care what
I
you
love Hook, but I just Hook it.
I've been trying to make that all day long. Gigi said Lost Boys thing, and I'm like, you mean like Peter Pan? I just want people to imagine Nathan and Gigi dressed up in their leotards, you know, dancing.
Hey,
Wendy,
hey, my leotards are packed.
They're in the shop. Our leotards are in the shop.
My Renaissance Fair days are over, okay?
My Renaissance Fair. You don't do the Ren Fair anymore?
I just don't have time for it.
I think everybody needs to do the Ren Fair.
So tell me more, Gigi. Tell me more.
Well, I mean, it had its faults. Like, three directors works for some movies, but not every movie. And there was parts where you could tell that the director sort of, you know, clashed and, you know, tripped a little bit. But that's okay. You're willing to overlook it because it was so humorous. It was entertaining. And there's a lot of horror movies. There's definitely a lot of post-apocalyptic movies out there. But this was just fun. It was just fun because they were like, okay, here's what we got. Here's what we're going to do. Here's our inspiration. Let's just go with it. And it was great. It was absolutely wonderful. I highly recommend it. Like I said, I know it's in select theaters. I know not everybody can get a chance to run out and see it, but this is definitely one of those movies you need to check out. Don't go looking for, like I said, some classic movie, you know, some thrilling cinematic achievement. Don't look for some, like, crazy 88 Tarantino stuff. This is simply, it is what it is. But it's fun. And, I mean, watching people beat the crap out of each other with hammers and baseball bats and some guy clipping, you know, women with head shears. And, I mean, this is fun.
Todd.
It was fun, and then just the whole humor behind it. It totally reminded me of, like, Fido and Return of the Living Dead, just black humor. It was awesome. It was definitely awesome. But I'd say out of the three transmissions, the funniest is the second one. So, I mean, if you're going to go and you're not too thrilled by certain things, at least sit through the second one because that made the movie, totally made the movie. But basically, you know, all these people go insane, and, of course, there's a girl. And she's married to this crazy guy, and he gets the crazy in him, and he decides he's going to track her down because she wants to leave him for her boyfriend. So basically, that's the basic storyline, is you're following this chick as she's trying to escape the city, and her boyfriend's trying to follow her, and her husband's trying to track them down and kill everybody, and yeah. Really, they don't matter. And there's so many, like, tongue-in-cheek horror things. And, I mean, it's just hysterical. And, I mean, there's, like, a Jack Nicholson moment with the door. And, I mean, oh, my God, it's hysterical. It's so funny. I'm surprised because there have been few things this year that have come out that have actually pleased me. Like, Black Sheep, Fido, things like, you know, those things, yeah. But for something to come out that just completely took me by surprise and actually entertained me, I was like, wow, okay, yeah. So it was a great movie, absolutely great. So
and the title again, Gigi?
The Signal.
And directed by?
Bruckner, Gentry, and Bush.
And you can see it where?
Well, I hope it's playing in a theater near you, but like I said, it's in select theaters, so it's pretty much playing everywhere, but you're going to have to pick and choose what theater.
They did that with The Orphanage, too. I had to go into New York to see The Orphanage.
They do that a lot. It seems like, I'm seeing it more and more these days. It didn't used to be this bad, but I don't know what's going on, but for some reason, I'm noticing this a lot, especially with a lot of obscure horror movies that are coming out. So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised because they give crap, like, 8 films to die for screening time in, like, major cities, but they can't play something halfway decent like The Signal. Come on.
Well, GG.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I noticed that here in my city, too, in Indianapolis, man. The movies don't stay out that long no more.
No, it's a thing, and I think a lot of it has to do with, and I'm not going to get into this because I'll start another rant and I'll go off on people. A lot of it has to do with the fact that movies these days are being pirated.
Yeah.
They're being, and the downloading, and on top of that, just bootlegs. I don't know how many people I've seen that have bootleg movies, like a week after the movie's in the theater, and it pisses me off, and you people need to stop it, because Gigi will come to your house and personally beat you with my towel, because...
And you won't enjoy it.
I mean, I understand, you know, screw the man, anti-Hollywood, but you're taking away from indie films, too, and you're taking away from... you know, people being able to enjoy it on a big screen. Because now that you have this stuff coming out at a faster rate and people are getting their hands on this, you know, the hot goods, they're trying to pump the DVDs out faster to make money and to compensate for the loss in revenue. So now we don't get to see it on the big screen as long as we used to.
Yeah.
So it's actually, we're suffering in the long
especially
run.
If you're not near a big city. Because when I went to New York, they were still playing Legend. I Am Legend in New York.
Really?
But... you can't find it anywhere around here.
See, and that's surprising because, yeah, it's been pulled from a lot of theaters around here.
Yeah.
But that's just the thing, and it ticks me off. And you know what? I can understand if you get a bootleg copy and it's really sharp looking and you're all like, oh, badass. They're all crappy. You know, half of them are staticky and the other half look like, you know, you're watching like through some blurry, you know, glasses or something. It's. I'm like, you people are ripping off. You know, our chance to view cool movies on a big screen, you're taking money away from the indie films for this?
Yeah.
I was like, come on. And people are actually paying for this crap. Yeah. Oh, and don't get me started, because most of the movies that are bootlegged are crap anyway. So I'm like, oh, thanks. Thanks, guys. So every time I see people with bootlegs, I go off. I absolutely go crazy.
I have honestly only seen one bootleg my entire life.
Oh, my God. I see them like crazy around here. Chicago must be a hotbed for, like,
well, I've seen them for sale, but I've only watched one. I think the
you
only...
bootlegger, Nathan.
I think the only one... Well, you know, that's another story. But,
I see Muldoon's like, get him, Gigi. Muldoon, I need your help. We're going to go door to door.
I think I saw the Bruce Lee story on a on a bootleg tape, and all I can remember is watching the real thing, like, 2 years later on TV and saying... I don't remember seeing that person stand there, and it was because the person who bootlegged it actually had the camera tilted about 4 inches one way wrong, so I was actually not seeing half the film.
Oh, Jesus. So, see, and that's what I'm saying.
I've seen one, and you've seen this cat with a big afro get up and go to the bathroom or go get popcorn or something. It was great.
Now, that's cool. That's like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Yeah, that's cool.
That's exactly how it was. And before Nathan runs you out, Gigi, can you do me a favor and just say tongue-in-cheek one more time? Because it sounds so dirty.
Am I turning people on with that or something?
Well, Gigi, I am going to have to ask you to go. So give Sean a tongue-in-cheek and tell me how many tongue-in-cheeks this film gets.
All right, I'll say it for you guys. Tongue-in-cheek. you okay over there? Yep. And I give this movie a 7.
Seven tongues in cheek, huh?
Seven
that
tongues in cheek.
That sounds sexy.
It's fun. It's fun. I like fun movies. Bring back fun movies.
Well, Gigi, we're going to have to go because we're going to take a quick break and we're going to listen to The Legend before we have Stephen Cook, author of The Legend.
Sounds right, good.
Yeah. So listen up to the song. Listen to the lyrics, guys, because we're going to be talking about it tonight.
That sounds great. I think everybody should stay tuned because it's going to be a great rest of the show, man.
All right,
I'm
Gigi.
I'm pumped.
We'll see you next week.
All right, definitely. I mean, is that a question? No.
Well, that's right. We're all going to be at Weird Winter together.
Dead of Winter. Is it Weird Winter or
Dead of Winter? Dead of Winter. It's the Dead of Winter. Because
people are asking me, and I'm like, it's some winter. I don't know. I don't want to mess it up and have Troy attack me. So.
That's right. All right.
All right, Gigi. And everything should be happy and rainbows and stuff. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll see you guys next week with the cool cats from Ghostly Talk and, you know, my boys, Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Good time. So.
You got it, baby.
We'll see you soon, sweetie.
All right. See you later.
Bye.
Bye, Gigi.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Stick around, guys.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy, sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Thank you. summer morning in early June is when the legend began. At a nameless logging camp in Wexford County, where the Manistee River ran, 11 lumberjacks near the Garland Swamp found an animal they thought was a dog. In a playful mood, they chased it around till it ran inside a hollow log. A logger named Johnson grabbed him a stick and poked around inside. Then the thing let out an unearthly scream and came out and stood upright. None of those men ever said very much about whatever happened then. They just packed up their belongings and left that night, were never heard from again. It was 10 years later in 97 when a farmer near Buckley was found, slumped over his plow, his heart had stopped, there were dog tracks all around. 7 years past the turn of the century, they say a crazy old widow had a dream of dogs that circled her house at night. They walked like men and screamed. In 1917, a sheriff who was out a-walking found a driverless wagon and tracks in the dust like wolves had been a-stalking. Near the roadside, a four-horse team lay dead with their eyes open wide. When the vet finished up his examination, he said it looked like they died of fright. In 37, a schooner captain said several crew members had reported a pack of wild dogs roaming Bowers Harbor. His story was never recorded. In 1957, a man of the cloth found claw marks on an old church door. The newspaper said they'd been made by a dog. He'd had to stood 7'4". In 1967, a van load of hippies told a park ranger named Quinlan they'd been awakened in the night by a scratch at the window. There was a dog man looking in and grinning. Then in the summer of 87, near Luther, it happened again. At a cabin in the woods, it looked like maybe someone had tried to break in. There were cuts around the doors, could have only been made by very sharp teeth and claws. He didn't wear shoes because he didn't have feet. He walked on just two paws. Legends are born of stories told, imagination without restriction. But what does a legend become when the truth outruns the fiction? The decades come, the decades go, people still swear they see Interlock and Reed City, Mackinac, there was something looking back at me. And somewhere in the Northwoods darkness, a creature walks upright. The best advice you may ever get is don't go out at night.
Investigators. It came from behind you. How the heck did it come from behind you?
To make that kind of shadow, there is no... The only light is from that way.
That was amazing. There was no light. The camera is facing the same direction it is now. It couldn't have been. I mean, there could have been no shadow passed behind. Unless it wasn't something that normally creates a shadow.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I can't explain it. That was weird.
That's the spirits of the Rockcliffe Mansion. Seeing is believing.
Buy online. shop.ezproductions.net.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Okay, that was Elvira, and that was part of the legend. And right now, Sean...
Yes, indeed, everybody. And I did see a couple people in our chat room actually got it, guys. Tonight's show, you guessed it, and the legend was about the American Werewolf or the Michigan Dogman, the Dogman of Michigan. And we have on tonight's show, Demon Hunter,
Steve Cook, author of the Michigan, or the legend, the song which the whole legend of the Michigan Dogman came from.
Ooh,
welcome,
Steve. That's given me a lot of credit.
Well, Steve, let's face it. Was there a Michigan Dogman before you?
Actually, there was. I just didn't know about it.
Oh, really?
I've always kind of been a folklore collector, and I picked up stories from different parts of the country where I've lived. And so this one day we were creating an idea for an April Fool's prank to play on the radio, and... This idea, I just thought, I've got to kind of create a creature that's indigenous to this part of the country, so I created this half-man, half-dog creature, and after the song played, it wasn't until after the song played on the radio that people started coming to me and saying, you know, that thing's real, we've seen it, I've got pictures, my uncle saw one, and then it turns out it goes way back into the Indian lore of this area, where the Native American tribes talked about the shapeshifter people who had the ability to take on the shape of other animals, and one of their favorites was to take on the shape of the wolf. And so this is a legend that actually goes back hundreds of years before my song, which is only 20 years old, and it caught me as much by surprise as anyone else.
Wow.
Now, Steve, when you came out with this song, we had spoke earlier, you said people started calling into your radio station.
That's correct.
Could you tell us some of the things that people were telling you?
Well, initially, people were just really interested in the song because it was unlike anything they'd ever heard before. Obviously, on the radio, you just don't hear a song that mentions towns near where you live and talks about these weird things happening every day. And so that was the initial interest. But then the first call that we got that was an actual sighting report was from a guy by the name of Robert Fortney, who was at the time... if I recall correctly, I think he was about 67 or 68 years old, and he had been a young man during the Depression, and he had seen a pack of dogs come out of the woods toward him, and he was small game hunting, so he had a rifle with him, and he was frightened, so he shot it into the air, and the other dogs walked back into the woods, but one, who was apparently the leader of this pack of dogs, stood up on his hind legs and stared at the man for a good solid minute. And this happened to him in 1938, and he was so terrified by it, he never spoke about it until 1987, almost 50 years passed. And he called me at the radio station and told me this story, and he said he was so grateful that someone was finally saying something about this so he wouldn't think he was crazy. He had actually witnessed it, and it had terrified him so much that he just didn't want to talk about it with anyone. And there were just lots of calls like that. People were calling, talking about various incidents where they'd seen something alongside the road or something crossing a field or they'd found tracks by a campsite that they couldn't explain. And it just kind of spiraled from there, and it continues right up to this day. I'm still getting calls and emails and letters on a regular basis from people who have had very real and very frightening experiences. I don't know what they saw, but they believe and feel in their hearts that they saw something.
Steve, this is going to make me look stupid in front of an old radio pro like yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to take my partner offline for a second and bring him right back. He's got a problem with his mic. But we'll keep talking because this is really interesting. When I read your bio and the story of the legend, I had no idea that there were actual events that had occurred prior to your writing the legend.
That's really the weirdest thing about it is, as I said earlier on, when I created this, I thought I was inventing something totally new, and it's only been since then that I've sort of become the lightning rod for all of these people who have had these experiences, who are now coming forward and saying, you know, God, I'm so glad that you did this, because now I feel like I have an outlet. I can talk to somebody who understands this, and I'm like, whoa, wait, I don't really understand it either. But go ahead and tell me anyway, because I'm fascinated by what they have to say.
And now, you said you're a fan of these legends and stuff. Had there been any stories that you took this idea from? Sean, you know a little bit about this too, right? Sean?
Yeah, I know. I know what Steve's told me, the story of the dog man. And of course, I've always been fascinated with the American Werewolf stories. Of course, we had Linda Godfrey on. She was one of our previous guests, and she had spoke a little bit about the dog man. But I wanted to get to tonight, Steve, because I knew you had spoke to a lot of eyewitness and stuff like that. And of course, you created the song.
Mm-hmm.
And did you catch the Monster Quest? I seen that a couple weeks ago.
I did. I was actually interviewed for that show, but I didn't make the cut because they only could make it an hour-long show, and my interview had to have gone at least a half an hour. But they were very interested in everything that we had going on over here, but they had to sort of limit their scope because of the time constraints they were working under.
I had that problem on the Maury show. I filmed for 8 hours and wound up getting 15 seconds. Murray.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Well, when you work in this business long enough, you do understand time constraints. and so I understand, and I forgive Doug Hijack, the producer. After all, he spent 300 hours over here recording video and interviewing me and a number of the people who have had experiences, and a considerable amount of time and money that he put into putting the Michigan component into that particular episode that didn't end up making it in there. But I'm hoping that since they've been renewed for a new season next year, that maybe we'll make it next year.
Now, Sean and I don't understand time restraints because we're usually looking, trying to find a way to fill 2 hours.
I understand that end of it, too. I've done talk shows, too. So, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I actually was talking to Steve about that before the show.
Well, it looks like we lost Sean's mic again. Let me see if I can bring him back.
He's kind of fluttering.
Yeah, his mic is giving me some kind of problem here, and it's apparently a problem with our digital system that we put in. Let me...
Well, technology is a wonderful thing.
Isn't it? You know, do you remember analog? I used to love
analog. I started in the business spinning vinyl discs on turntables and recording everything on reel-to-reel tape and editing with a razor blade and a grease pencil. And those days are long gone now, and I don't miss them a bit.
I got my I did my first internship at WNNJ in New Jersey and that's what they had me doing, spinning vinyl.
Yeah.
On
AM. The good old days. The good old days of Q-Burned Records, yeah.
Sean, you're back now. You started skipping on us there.
Okay, I don't know if it's a problem with the mic yet, guys, or
no,
not.
No, it's a problem with the digital line, with you coming into the system. It's not your fault at all.
Okay, it sounds good, but I wanted to ask you, Steve, have they ever decided, is this a legitimate werewolf case, or is this a new kind of species out there, the dog man? I mean, have they said?
You know, I'm really a skeptic when it comes to things like this. I've never really been a big believer in creatures that science can explain, particularly in this day and age when you can have a little handheld GPS unit that can tell you within 3 feet wherever you are on the planet, it's kind of hard for me to grasp the notion that these subspecies are, especially something as big as a full-grown dogman would be. In the song, he's described as over 7 feet tall, and a number of witnesses have described him that way as well. It's hard for me to believe that a creature of that size could live for that long without some really dramatic direct contact evidence that brings it out into the light. But, you know, after 20 years of listening to these people tell stories and some of the pictures I've seen, and in particular a piece of film that I have right now, I have to now say I really don't know whether this thing exists. And I have to leave it at that because I've never seen one myself. And I'm not from Missouri, but I am one of those kind of people that has to be shown things before I actually believe in them. The same line that I always give is that enough credible people have told me some really incredible stories that at some point you have to just step back and question your own place where you stand, whether it's real or not. And at this point, I can only say I really don't know. But there's something out there that these people are seeing, and whether it's something that is identifiable, it is, some weird mangy bear or whatever it may be, they're seeing something and it's frightening them.
Now, let's for a moment, let's stop and talk about the famous tape and how that came to be. And is it the Patterson video? Not the Patterson.
Are you talking about the film I have?
Yes.
Talking about the Patterson-Gimlin film.
The Patterson-Gimlin.
Yeah.
That's the famous one, right?
That's the famous one from the 60s that was shot, in Washington State. And I've done quite a bit of, I don't want to say research, but I've studied that film a lot. And I really have not been able to come to a decision on it. There have been an awful lot of people way smarter than I have looked at that and said, it is real or it isn't real. And there again, you have to kind of come down somewhere in the middle and say, well, it could go either way. But there's enough about it that's unusual that causes me to kind of lean toward, it is a real piece of film.
Right. Now, I've seen something on MySpace, not MySpace, but YouTube. And it's about the dog man.
Uh-huh.
That piece of footage. I forget the name of that.
Oh, the Gable film.
Yes. Yes. Now, what do you know about that?
That piece of film came into my hands last summer. It was kind of a long and convoluted route that it got to me. But I don't know a lot about where it came from or who shot it or when it was shot or anything like that. But last year, last fall, I gave a private preview of that piece of footage to Linda Godfrey's Yahoo discussion group, the Unknown Creature Spot. And it was on YouTube in a private setting for about 4 days, and it somehow got pirated off from that section, and it went like wildfire all over the Internet, I eventually had to post it on my website for a few days, and which just left it open for more piracy, which is why it's out there right now. But that piece of film is a very interesting piece because it's a 3.5-minute 8mm film, and the first 2.5 minutes of it is pretty innocuous stuff. It's snowmobiles running around through a field and a guy chopping wood or a woman chopping wood. We can't really tell. Someone working on an old pickup truck and that sort of thing. And everything about it suggests it was shot probably in the 1970s. But about 2.5 minutes into the film, the perspective of the camera goes to the passenger side of a pickup truck going down the road. And they're kind of scanning along the road, panning across the road with the camera. And all at once, the cameraman spots something moving across the field. It's almost as though they were out there looking for it, like they'd seen it before, and they were out there trying to capture it on film. And they saw it moving in this field. The truck stops, the camera moves outside the vehicle, and for about 25 seconds there's movement where the camera seems to be, the camera person seems to be running through this field either away from or in pursuit of whatever it is they had seen. Then at one point, just about 30 seconds before the film ends, you see the creature again in a straight shot, face to face with the cameraman. The creature is probably, I would say roughly 50 yards distant. The camera has a bit of a zoom on it. And for a few seconds, the two just kind of regard each other. You don't, there's not much movement or action. But then suddenly this creature begins to accelerate and run toward the cameraman, in a, what we call a charge. And what makes this film so weird is that when you first see the creature, it looks like it could be someone fooling around on their hands and knees,
right,
with a, wearing some kind of a wolf mask or something. But as the thing comes at you, it changes shape, and it grows bigger. The legs transform from a very human shape into a very dog-like shape, and the thing grows literally in front of your eyes, grows a tail, and it comes, and this all happens in the space of about 4 seconds as the thing is coming at the cameraman. The cameraman then turns and runs for maybe 4 or 5 seconds, and then all you see is this incredible quick flash of teeth, and the camera falls on the ground, and the film runs out. It's kind of a real, kind of a Blair Witchy sort of an ending to it, but the rest of the film is so bizarre and so compelling that that we just don't know what to make of it.
Right. It's kind of like the film I had walking in on Demon Hunter, Nathan, in the shower.
You know, I've got that no comment button ready to go on you there, Sean. You know,
oh, you see his teeth, man.
It's it's interesting, though, that you picked this topic and you didn't have any clue of, like, these stories. And it just all came together. I know we're kind of like the little baby sister show to Ghostly Talk, and they're always talking about, you know, synchronicity and things like that. But what do you think? Do you, you've become a center of something that you started, and this is from reading the blogs about you this week that I looked up. You know, it started as an April Fool joke.
Exactly. Yeah, it
and
started out as an April Fool's prank.
You've become a
on the radio, and it just has blossomed into this thing. You know, here I am 20 years later, sitting in a chair talking about it. We expected it would play on April Fool's Day in 1987, and on April 2nd, it would be a nice memory. But now here, 20 years later, I'm on the radio or on the internet radio talking about it, and.
Oh, sure. Put us down as internet radio.
That wasn't a slam at all. I just wanted to clarify, specify. But people are still interested in it, and people still want to hear the song. Over the last 20 years, I've recorded 5 different versions of the song. We just did the last one last year.
And I hear there's a video now.
There's a music video that goes with it. We have a 2-disc set that we sell, and I want to preface before I even go any further that I've never made any money off this song. The song, all the proceeds from the song go to animal rescue charities, and that's the way it's been for 20 years.
I've actually heard that last year, 2007, you donated $5,500 alone.
Yeah, and those were just the 2 major charities. It's over $6,000 last year that we gave away. And that's just something that I do because it makes me feel good. It's not that I don't need the money. I certainly could use the money, but it's fun to be able to do this and be a part of this whole experience because it really has become such a part of the fabric of this area now that virtually anybody from particularly this corner of Lower Michigan, you mentioned the dog man. Oh, yeah, I've heard that song, and my uncle saw one, or... But everyone has a story that has something to do with it.
Now, did you... I played the song for Chrissy P before the show, and she loved it so much, she wanted to know if you had other songs out or if it was just that song, or...
Well, yeah, we have recorded quite a few. There's another version of The Legend of the Dogman called The Sigma Story, which is part of the set that we sold in 2007 and still have a few left. But we're actually redoing the Sigma story, and there's a book being written right now as a companion to the Sigma story. The Sigma story is about a little town that was a fairly small, thriving farm community back in the 80s when the song, the original Legend song, first came out. And they start having appearances of the Dogman in their little town, but no one believes them. And eventually, by the end of the summer, everyone in the town has disappeared. And it's kind of a Twilight Zone-ish sort of a story, but it caught enough people's imagination that someone wants to write a book about it. And so we're going to redo the song in a new version in 1988. I'm sorry, in 2008. And we're going to re-release the CD next year with a new music video and also another video called Encounters, which will talk a lot about some, the sightings and some of the photographic evidence that I've accumulated over the years. And
I was going to say, that's really cool that you're going to be able to go back in time 10 years and do a song. That's
Exactly.
We're going to have to get you back on the show quick, man. 10 years of time travel. But you know what? I got to say, Steve, I didn't know about the animal rescue centers, man. Hats off, brother. We need more people like you out there doing this stuff. And that's just, I can't stress enough how important that is. And for you to do that, what a big heart, man. But I wanted to ask you something, Steve. What kind of Indian reservations, I guess, are out there in that part of Michigan? And have you been able to speak to any of those people about the Dogman?
I have, but you have to understand, well, first of all, let me answer the first part of your question. That is, in this area in particular, the primary tribes are the Odawa, or what the Englishmen have corrupted into the Ottawa, and then there's the Chippewa Indian also is the other tribe that's in this region.
And the Englishmen, you sound like my family from down in the Pennsylvania Dutch area. Don't go out and live among the English.
That's right. And just south of here, there's some sub-tribes of the Potawatomi tribes are in the southwestern part of Michigan. And I have talked to a number of members of all of those tribes, but the Native Americans are very, I guess the best way to put it is tight-lipped. They're not secretive, but they don't share an awful lot of the mythical type stories, I don't even want to call it mythical stories, the spirit stories of their ancestors. They don't share a lot of that stuff outside of the tribe. So it is kind of difficult to get really good information from tribal elders, but you can talk to some of the younger members of the tribe, and they're fairly free with that information. And one of the things that I've kind of gotten out of that as a common thread is that when the Indians spoke about certain types of creatures in the woods, the French settlers who first heard these stories always thought of them as, oh, that's a fantasy, that's a spirit, that's a god of theirs, some kind of a pagan god of theirs or whatever. And so a lot of that stuff just kind of got thrown into that category and was poo-pooed as just them being spiritual in their own way. But what the younger Indians or younger tribal members are telling me today is that when they talked about creatures in the woods, they were being very literal. And these were real things. These weren't things that they just imagined or that they fantasized about or created these weird gods or anything like that. They were talking about things that actually were there. And so when they talk about, like, the shapeshifters, that's something that's uniform. If you go to the Native Americans who live in the West or the East or the South or the North, all of them have a variation of that same story. And these are not tribes that had a lot of interconnection. They didn't have telephones and the Internet and so forth and chat rooms to share information. These were all independently developed stories that had exactly the same component, and that is a tribe of human beings who had the ability to change their shape and assume the shape of animals in the woodlands. And sometimes they did it completely, where they became completely a wolf that ran on four legs and looked like every other wolf, or they became a part man and part wolf. And the Native Americans, again, I can't stress this enough, tell me that when they talk about those people, They were talking about them literally. Those weren't just stories. That was something that they did experience.
So what are you coming out with for this April Fool's? Like, you're going to talk about the fictional war in Iraq or something?
Oh, if only I could, yeah.
Steve, I got to add.
Pardon?
Well, go ahead. Answer that. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't do many good April Fool's jokes anymore. I've kind of exhausted my supply. We have done some beauties over the years, but this is definitely the one that's been the longest lived.
That's great. It's like a smaller version of War of the Worlds, except yours came true, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And Steve, I got to ask, I know you're skeptic to the American Dogman, but is it possible that we have an American werewolf prowling around Michigan on our hands? Is that a possibility?
You know, if it had only been here, I would say probably not. But about 1992, I received in the mail a newspaper clipping from a little newspaper in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, written by a reporter there named Linda Godfrey. And she was describing in this article a creature that they were seeing in along a Bray Road in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Linda and told her what was going on here, and she was very interested, and I played the song for her, and she literally gasped, and she said, "My God, that is exactly what they're seeing here." And then she started to tell me that the same thing was happening. She was getting reports from Minnesota and Illinois and Ohio and New York State, and you know, now it's she's getting reports from the southern states as well. So it, to me, I have to say that there's something more going on than I may be willing to admit to myself, but there is something more going on out there than any of us really know, and I'll be glad and not terribly surprised when that direct contact does happen. Because I really do believe it's going to happen. I don't know what it's going to be, but I do believe it's going to happen, and it's going to be something that's going to surprise us all.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think there's more than meets the eye out there, and I think, heck, we haven't even discovered half the things on our planet or in our oceans yet. So
absolutely, and it's evolving and changing every day.
Well, that's true. You know what? We're going to have to actually go to a break and come back with our next guest there, Steve. Where can people hear you on a regular basis?
Well, I don't have a show necessarily anymore. I do work at WTCM Radio in Traverse City, Michigan, and the easiest way to find out more about the Michigan Dogman is to visit the website, which is michigan-dogman.com, and that has quite a bit of history of the song. It has a lot of sighting reports, and also information on how you can order the CD and DVD set.
Well, thank you so much for being on, Steve. It was such a pleasure to get to talk to you. And,
yes.
You know, sorry that our system blew on us in the middle of the show, but
it happens to the best of us.
It's well, coming from you, that's great to hear. So we will definitely be in touch soon, and we are really glad to have you here. And everybody, that was Steve Cook, author of The Legend, and if you want to find more about him, check out his website, and Steve, we'll talk to you soon, I hope.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Keep up the good work, Steve.
You
thanks
too.
Again.
Bye-bye.
So, Sean, you ready to go to a break and come back and listen to some EVPs and ghost boxes?
Yeah, coming back with Julie and Joel Vasquez, and we're going to be listening to some Ghost Box EVPs, guys. So stick around. It's going to get crazy.
We'll be right back.
Sundance, Park City, Utah.
Cannes, France.
New York City.
What do all these places have in common, Ghost Man?
Well, I don't know, Demon Hunter.
They are the homes of some of the best-known film festivals in the world.
But wait, now you can join authors Troy Taylor and Luke Malborski from the American Ghost Society in the first-ever Dead of Winter Film Festival in Decatur, Illinois.
March 1st, 2008. Come and experience the best independent films on ghosts, hauntings, and the supernatural.
Prices start at $10 for general admission with all-access passes for $75.
Get the first look at these new films, join in the investigation of the Haunted Lincoln Theater, and meet the filmmakers.
Not to mention the Ghostly Talk radio crew and the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
For reservations, go to www.prairieghosts.com/winter.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Hey guys, be sure to be there March 1st at the Haunted Lincoln Theater in Decatur, Illinois.
Don't miss the chance to say, I was there for the first Dead of Winter Film Festival.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from
Ghostly Talk, reminding you to tune into Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com, one of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives, read the world's latest paranormal news, and be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do.
Hello, this is Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned, they're a hot... Is that a radio show? Who was that again? Yeah, okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghostman and Demon Hunter, they rock.
Hey, Ghostman and Demon Man, whatever.
Ghostman and Demon Man, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, and we're back, and I heard that whole conversation that Julie's a little upset with me for the picture I chose for the internet.
Oh, that's, you don't even know.
I'm sure that was payback from Sean.
No, actually what that was you...
Sean, I wouldn't start your cars for like 6 months.
What that was you sent me your bio on
PDF,
and I don't know how to take photos off of a PDF, so I had to just search, and not knowing... like any other photos, I just had to search your website till I could find a photo to put you on there.
I wouldn't start your car for like 6 months.
Well, fortunately, my car doesn't start, so we're good to go.
Well, then you're lucky.
I'm like the worst photo ever, and you put it up there. I'm like, good mother of God.
If I could have found one other photo on that site of just you, we would have been fine.
Well, the website isn't about just me. That's why.
We're keeping that picture of you, too.
We have many nice pictures. An email would have just sufficed.
Oh, man.
All right, so I'm the bad guy. All right, that's fine. It's
We'll call that the pouty Julie picture.
Oh, it is, because I was pouty. The outstanding joke is, everybody knows when we go to do an EVP session, you can't even breathe, because I, like, yell at everybody. And so we were actually listening to EVP and people were talking, so I gave them that look. So that's actually the look of the kill, because you're actually talking and not listening to EVP.
Well, I think I've seen that.
You know, yeah. I can understand that, because Sean and I use condenser mics when we hunt for EVP. So if somebody sneezes outside, we can hear them.
Yeah. Well, actually, Nate, I don't know if you know that Sean actually came to my house and was one of the very first people that did an investigation at my house.
Ew. No, he did not tell me that.
Yeah.
This is true.
In fact, Sean pestered me for a long, long time to come in and do it, and that's actually how I got involved in the paranormal.
Well, that's actually, I know what it's like to get pestered by Sean, so yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, he's like a bad penny. He kept coming back, you know?
Well, you know, if I remember right, Julie, you had a bad experience with another ghost hunting group. And...
yeah, it was a ghost hunting group from Missouri. Came in with a dog collar. It actually got thrown down my stairs.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, if I saw somebody come in with a dog collar, I'd liable to do the same thing. So.
Well, I do want to pay Sean a compliment, because Sean got me through a lot of tough times while I was at the house. I would call him in the middle of the night because I was definitely afraid. And so, you know, I applaud him. I applaud waking up poor Devin in the middle of the night. But, you know, he did an awful lot for me and my girls, and got me through some tough times to where I was scared to go back in my house, and look at me now. So.
Yeah, yeah, look at you on that picture, winking at people and giving them a look.
Yeah,
now changing. We're going to change your picture.
That's a ma look. But see, it doesn't work on like my members, though. You know, they just know that they need to not talk or breathe or say a word.
I understand, because I'm usually the one going. That was me coughing.
Don't you love it when they whisper?
because they don't want to disturb it, so they just contaminate it. Instead of talking loud, they'll whisper. That drives me nuts.
I just sent one to somebody, a group of EBPs I found on a investigation. I sent them to them and said, you know, this one sounds like this. This one sounds like this. Hey, what does this one sound like to you? And, of course, it was somebody whispering on.
Hey, exactly.
If they whisper, they won't disturb it.
Well, each month we have our monthly meetings, and I go through, well, we usually do an investigation, you know, afterwards, and then we go through the audio and the video. So then I bring it to the meeting and tell them, what's wrong with this? You know, explain to me what you actually did write on the investigation.
Oh, I've been through those.
We've had two investigators with us, so we'll sit them in a dark room and see who can sit still and not say anything in a dark room for like 15 minutes. Might not be haunted, but we want to see who's going to move and who, when we really go out and investigate, who's going to stick around and we're going to take with us.
My problem with investigating it with people is they keep going, what is that noise? I think it's Nathan snoring.
Joel's actually done that a few times, so...
Now, Julie, you're going to have to help me tonight explain the ghost box, because I've been trying to talk to Nathan about that. And you, Joel, you're going to have to help Joel are going to have to help explain the Radio Shack hack, because I've been working on that. I just got my very own and put it together and got it all modified and everything.
You like putting the pins back in?
Oh, yeah. You know what? It went in easy, man.
Oh, man, you're the only one. Everyone I talk to walks away, comes back 20 minutes later, because it just don't go back in, not everything.
Or they'll snip, like, one of the wires in there and have to go back to Radio Shack, and they'll return it and say it's not working. You know, they lied, not to solve the
mess. Not that we would ever do that or condone it.
Well, now you just blew it for everybody, because Radio Shack, I'm sure they're listening to us right now, and they're going to say, well, now we know why we're getting all those back.
Well, you know what's really funny is a lot of the models, some of the... older models are actually in high demand, and they're down in the southern states. So they keep sending all these RS stores, keep sending all these old models up to, you know, the Midwest area, trying to for supply and demand. And it's kind of funny because they're like, what are you guys using it for? Shh, it's top secret. We can't tell you.
We work for the government.
It's high tech. So, Joe, how did you get started with Paranormal Underground? Underworld.
It was an idea of mine and Julie's. I'm Jewish. My son was having a bar mitzvah. My sister was very sick. So I broadcast that live. And I was driving to a haunted location with Julie. And, you know, sometimes you're talking and you're thinking and we're pushing ideas back and forth. And I said, why can't we do live investigations on the Internet? And it went from there.
Right. Now, does this include
ran with it. Now it's where it's at.
Is this helmet cams and stuff like that, or how do you guys do it?
No, basically, what sets us aside from the rest, and excuse my daughter because she just belched in my ear while she's going to bed. You know, nothing like being a mom trying to do a radio interview. Needless to say, we actually set them up live stream. The creator concept as far as the website itself actually is Brett Pittman. We owe a lot to Brett. He actually does Haunted Indiana Magazine. And
he's been on our show. Yeah, Brett's cool.
Yeah, he's a sweetheart.
Brett's the top of the top.
Yeah, he's a class act, him and his wife. And in any event, we wanted to do something really unique to feature local groups and haunted locations and kind of show their bios, allow people to learn, as Sean knows too. The lack of education is not there. I mean, it's really not there. You have so many newcomers in this industry that think that, you know, they just can come out and run around a cemetery and that's what it's all about, and it's not. It's actually following through and servicing the client and what have you, and learning different techniques and learning different ways to apply the equipment, because a lot of people really don't know how to really use the equipment properly. You know, okay, I got an EMF meter. Yeah, that's nice. Or a cell sensor and it's going off when they're standing next to an electrical box. I mean, they have no clue. So from that aspect, we wanted to give an opportunity or afford an opportunity to feature great people that are my mentors in the industry, that have been around for a long time, that are our experience, an opportunity to...
Some not so
yeah, and then not some not so, you know, I shouldn't say famous, but notable groups or organizations, to show what they, what, how they go ahead and proceed with EVP sessions or how they actually investigate. And, we actually do the live stream. It's, uncut, uncensored. And you, as you know, you have your downtime or what have you. And,
downtime? What's that?
Set them all up in different cameras and parts of the location.
We like to set the cameras up. So you, one of the things is you do not know what camera is live. There's no little red light that tells you that it's live. If you mess up or are talking about someone, you might be live, because we found that people play to the camera, and if they don't know which camera's on, they're more natural. And, you know, we have a switch box set up, so we're observing all of our four or five cameras. And if we start seeing some action somewhere, or someone gives us a head up that they're getting good EVP, we switch to the camera without even, you know, telling the people. It's live, uncut, uncensored, and they have no idea when I push the button and when I don't.
So if you're picking your nose, you're in trouble, because we actually had someone doing that. And, of course, the chat room goes crazy. But I think the best benefit to this is not only reaching out to so many other people that can't afford an opportunity to travel to some of these locations, but the fact that they can actually partake in it and download the EVP, any EVP or audio directly to their hard drive. So that live stream's coming through, we have anywhere from a 5 second to 12 second delay depending upon the internet speed, and therefore they're actually hearing the EVP before the investigators at the location are, because it's coming through the camera, so that they can prompt them to go back and ask questions or actually, yeah, like any suggestions, you know, for them to act, you know, act, interact with them. Like at Whispers, they had Ring Around the Rosie, or at Ashmore Estates, they wanted all the women to go down because they seemed like they were getting more activity when all kinds of women were in the room versus when the men were. So they have the ability to do that, but they also get excited when they're actually hearing the EVP firsthand before the investigators at the location are. So that was a phenomenal additional tool that we implemented.
Now, Sean and I were thinking of putting up a webcam. We were trying to do it for people to see us while we broadcast, but I couldn't get him to keep his shirt on while we were doing the show. So
yeah, I can't keep my hand out of my pants long enough to do that. So
yeah, well, that's Sean for you, though. You know, he always likes to get naked. So
but, you know, Sean's been a lot of conferences, so, you know, most people have already seen him running around naked. So, that would be no big thrill.
Listen, this question's for Julie or Joel, actually. What do you guys say, talking about the ghost box, when somebody says, you know what, that is nothing more than interference?
Well,
what
I've said to them is, you know, I've gotten words put together that's never been put together. I've got the audio of the Dark Heads. Now, I've never heard a reference to those two words put together in my life. I've never, in movies, dictionaries, you'll never hear it. To me, that confirms it. Plus, you hear the same voice at any time of the night. Unfortunately, there's people out there that have already decided what the outcome would be, and before they've explored it. So there's certain people you can argue until you're blue in the face, and you're not going to convince them. So you just have to. For me personally, I just move on.
Well, see,
as far as I'm concerned, I've been researching actively, Sean, as you know, since November, pretty much on a daily basis. And basically, I think now with the RS hacks, it affords people the opportunity to go out and see for themselves. They have the ability to control the environment in which they're in. They have the ability to call their neighbor and check and see if they're on their cell phone, to eliminate some of the possibilities from a skeptic's point of view. You also have the ability to ask those questions that nobody else would know, and therefore see what you get out of it. I try to tell everybody, how far-fetched from regular conventional EVP is this, really? If you believe in conventional EVP, why is this not possible? A lot of people really believe it's the premise that it's working on radio fragments. I have to differ with a lot of people in this industry when they say that. I think they're kind of like hitching a ride, like a hitchhiker would be, that they actually are utilizing those radio fragments to formulate those words, but they're falling in the sequence. They're either behind, depending upon what box you're utilizing, behind the actual audio radio stations that's coming through, or they're falling in between when they're scanning those stations. As you know, with the Radio Shack hack, the 469 model, you know how it has that ticking, Sean. It's tick, 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 tick every time it scans a channel. Well, you have the ability to count how many channels you're actually going through. And so if you get a repetitive voice within so many channels that you know, in fact, you can rule out the fact it is actual radio that's coming through. Also, when you're getting profanity, and Sean, you've heard some of the profanity that's come through, you know, in fact, they're not going to say that on the radio station. That doesn't mean, for instance, that somebody doesn't have a walkie-talkie down in your basement, as many people have claimed, but in all actuality, when you are getting direct answers pertaining to specific questions that you know are factual, you know, you have to add some sort of credence to the fact that this may be a new form of communication.
Well, you know, I've Sean and I have talked about it, and I try to be skeptical about everything without being closed-minded, which is the way you should be when you go into something like this.
Any investigator.
Right. And I think my problem, why I have a harder time dealing with this, is my brother and I used to play a game as a child where we'd ask the TV a question and then zoom through the channels and put together about two-second clips on each channel to get a word from each channel to get the answer.
Right. Well, Nathan, let me tell you about some experience. If you got a Radio Shack hack box, let's say, and you're messing with it and you're not getting anything, you're not picking it up. And this is how it happened to me and Julie. We're like, this box is not good. We use a little more colorful language. But our kids were playing with it, and they were talking to it, and they said they were hearing it. And we just left it run. And we left it run, and Julie was downstairs working on writing her book. And in walked her younger daughter, and she's standing there, and it's going, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. And Alexis walks in, and the box goes, hi, Alexis. And I walk down, and it says, hi, Joel. And we both stopped, clear as day. Never, you know, clear as day. That's what it said. Hi, Alexis. Hi, Joel. We never spoke a word. We never did anything. We just walked in. Well, then we had to, you know, take a step back and look at this and explore it a little more. You're right. It's like the cloud theory. You know, you look at clouds, you're going to see a rabbit. But, you know, you, as an investigator, you come in with an open mind. And like Julie's point, how far is this from, you know, we're talking EVP. Do you doubt, you know, if you don't doubt EVP, well, now something's talking to you out of thin air. This is just another step forward that's a possibility. We're not saying it works all the time, but we've gotten some phenomenal, phenomenal stuff from it. And we have.
I tell you, Joe, we got like 9 minutes, bro, so let's go into some of this stuff. Let's listen to some of these EVPs and let's let the listeners hear some of this stuff.
Okay.
What should I start with here, guys? Joel? Julie? Are you still there?
Did we lose them?
Hello?
I hear them.
Yeah,
hello?
Which one should we start with here?
Whatever one you want. You fire away and I'll tell you which one it is.
Well, you know what? It looks like it put them in alphabetical order for me, so I'm just going to start with the first one in the alphabetical order here.
Okay, let's not say what it says. Let's see if anyone can listen here.
Yeah, don't just listen and let's see if anybody can identify with it.
All
right. And they can talk about it in the chat room or write it down what they think.
I'm going to mute us so that our speakers don't cloud it at all.
Okay.
Okay, that was the first one.
Right. That is actually, we believe, a residual haunting that actually came from a very famous location in central Illinois. And that is actually one part of a clip that was coming through this residual haunting. And it's actually a huge clip that was broken down. There's actually three entities that are speaking. At that point in time, it's a male, female, and another female that came through.
I'll play that one more time, and then we'll go to the next one. So it's saying, burn it down, knock it down?
Correct.
Okay. Let's see what we've got next here. I will go down this way. This one, are some of these EVPs and some of them are off the box, or?
Correct.
Okay, I think
there are
this
some
one...
that are EVPs and some of them are from the actual box sessions, correct?
This one
and
looks like it's 19
seconds
long.
We had taken
long.
Joe's box, which is another version of Frank's box, and I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with Frank's box. Joe Siapi actually made Frank's box, so we actually had that at the location. And we had gone in to listen, you know, and see if we could actually get the same voices coming through the box that we would actually catch in conventional EVP, and therefore we did, which actually had to add additional credence to it.
Okay, let's see this next one here. It looks like it's 19 seconds long, so let's see what we can get off it.
Is that he caught me beating one of the children? But did you sexually abuse those children as well?
He did. Did you hear that? He did take him through.
Okay, that one I didn't hear.
You have to acquire, I guess, an ear for it. Once you start utilizing the box, we tell people that actually get it to go ahead and turn it on and let it run. You want to get accustomed to as it's scanning the stations to hear. Now, Joe's box is completely different than the RF hacks. The RF hacks are more formulated. That was actually only scanning three stations at that time. So it's eliminating, you know, pretty much when they start to formulate some of the words, but you have to tune your ear in to hear. And Joe's box is quite difficult. It's based on the same premise of Frank's box or the mini box, which a lot of people are coming to find out, which has just been recently released by Paranormal Systems.
Okay, well, let's go to another one here. This one looks like it's 11 seconds. We'll give this one a shot.
Is this a big joke to you?
Hello?
You got a knock.
Now, to me, that sounds like a voice breaking through on the radio.
Enough. The word enough, actually, as it was scanning through the channels, that actually, when it comes through real loud like that, you don't normally with when it's scanning with through the radio stations, they're usually behind it. We really believe at that point that individual that was there was actually grounded spirit. That's why it was so very, very loud. And you have to, like I said, understand certain locations because you're only picking up so many frequencies or so many channels from that area. And unfortunately, the population of the town is very, very small. So we were very, very far away from Chicago and actual radio stations. So it was only picking up, I think, three stations there.
The reception's not very good on that hack box, and you should see some of the stuff we've rigged to get better reception.
Yeah, it's nothing for me to be hanging out the window with an antenna attached to a little...
I'll go down the roof with the antenna up and going through the window and pointing it until she screams. It's the old rabbit ear trick, you know, on the Jackie Gleason shows.
Well, let's give this one a try. This is an 8-second clip. Let's see what we get.
Do you need us to help cross some of these entities over? They need to rest.
Okay. Now, is that another case where it was being recorded and there weren't people around that could interrupt or radio stations around?
This is all from the same location, actually, and how we actually got brought into that was the owner had contacted us and was trying to put together some pieces of the puzzle. There's a huge story that's, you know, in the public right now, and he was concentrating on some other entities. He was having a lot of activity in the house and wanted to concentrate on the additional residents that he believed were still there or grounded at the location. So, it's at the same location. And once again, there's only three stations that actually physically radio stations that would be coming through the box.
Okay. Well, let's see what else I can.
They sound interesting, guys. They do. I like them, but I still haven't found that one that makes me think, that's it. I can hear it. You know what I mean?
You're going to have to find that one on your own with your own box. I mean, Sean, right. What's going to happen is you're going to be messing around with the box. You're going to come home from work. You're going to crack a beer. You're going to kick back,
turn it on, walk out of the room, and come back, and it's going to say, hi, Sean. And you're going to say, I just heard that clear as day. And
right.
then
he's going to call me, and I'm going to have to listen to it 90 times.
Well, what we do is we ask for confirmation. And, you know, Julie has a clip where it says her name 8 times in like a minute and a half. Now, the chances of hearing Julie over a radio stations in a minute and a half are, you know, astronomical.
Well, obviously you weren't listening to our show earlier when Sean started skipping. So.
Yeah,
you know, I've heard some. Julie, you guys played some for me in the hotel room, and they were like these. They were pretty impressive. But, you know, I like the one I got here at the house. I just got it this week. It says Gene, and the name comes over the background noise.
Hey, guys, mm-hmm. we're going to have to wrap up in a minute. I'm going to try and fit in one more. You're going to have to tell me the name of it here if there's one you really want to play.
I sent you one, I think, that says Bridget.
Let me see here.
It says Bridget, hi, or I'm here, hi.
Let's see. Burn it down, did you say, get reversed, go leave in the house, is this a joke? Do, say Venom, it's crime. I don't see the Bridget one.
Yeah. Okay, you know what, play It's a Crime.
Okay.
And we were asking if there was a crime that actually took place in the house, and one did, and of course the box responded, it's a crime.
All right, let's give this a try.
Crime.
It's a crime. Yes.
Yeah.
Crime.
It's a crime. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. That one's interesting.
Yeah, I like that one.
Hey, guys.
What we try to do, and there's a lot of them that are on the website. If anybody's interested, they can go to my website and into the gallery, and there's spirit communication in there as well. Or anybody that is interested in it, they can type on YouTube, RS Hack, they'll come up. But there's so many people that are out there, and I tell everybody, you get it. They're so affordable. They're $24. Right. A Keyport Paranormal, Steve. As well, but go get one for $24.99. You can go get a box, hack it, and utilize it yourself.
Guys, I know you're trying to get out all this information, but we're going to get cut off the air in just a minute. So I need you to throw out your websites for us.
www.ispiinvestigations.com and www.paranormalunderworld.com.
We'll have to have you on again sometime to play some more stuff, but right now, Sean and I have to thank everybody for joining us here tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Absolutely.
All right, well, thank you for having us, guys.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Sean, we got to get together and hunt soon, man.
Guys, hang on the line for us while we wrap up. Sean, go ahead.
Be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we want to hear from you.
And join us next Sunday, which will be March 2nd, when we will be playing you excerpts from the Dead of Winter Film Festival.
Yeah. Hey, don't go changing Ghost Hunters. We love you. We love you.
I could just play that all night, Sean. Good night, everybody.
We're out of here, guys.
All right.
So say goodnight to the bad guys.